BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. This episode is brought to you by BDNG in partnership with the Hydromol team at Alliance Pharma. This is intended for a UK HCP audience. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BDNG Meets Podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie, and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. So today, I have great pleasure in introducing Fiona Elliott. I'm sure she doesn't need any introductions. Well known to the dermatology community. Fiona is a dermatology nurse consultant. So welcome, Fiona, to this podcast. And okay. Could you just give us a bit of background, your experience before we start this journey?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking me to do this. I think I've only ever done one before, but I've been in dermatology 35 years, so I've a lot of things that I should tell you about myself, but we probably won't have the time, so I'll just give you a snapshot. So I've been in a variety of roles, straight from ward sister in a dermatology ward, from used to have dermatology beds, to becoming the dermatology liaison nurse, where I saw patients in their own home as part of an initiative to keep people out of hospital. I then did a care closer to home pilot, and that was way back in 2006, which is so long ago now. And I set up inflammatory disease clinics. And then I made the bold move after finishing that pilot to work for the dark side, as some people say, but I think it isn't the dark side. I went to join a pharma company where I've worked as an educator trainer in primary care and in secondary care, also maintaining an honorary contract, which I had for a while. So for the past 18 years, that's what I've been doing, with honorary contract. And then about 5 years ago, I opened my own little dermatology clinic where I offer cryotherapy for all the things that we're not allowed to do anymore on the NHS, like warts, verrucas, skin tags, generalized skin consultations, and I also offer daylight PDT. So that's it in a nutshell.
That is it in a nutshell. I know, Fiona, how busy you are. Absolutely fantastic. And I know you've got a lot of juggling to do in your life as well. So you do an awful lot. And you're also very supportive to the nursing community as well in dermatology, which is absolutely fantastic. And your work as well with pharmaceutical, it is so important. We get a lot of education as nurses, and we are thanking Alliance today for supporting this podcast as well, which is absolutely fantastic. Without their support, isn't it, Fiona, we would not get the opportunities we do sometimes.
And absolutely. That's right, and that's why it's worth useful to thank them, you know, because they do support us, all pharma companies who support the BDNG.
They do indeed. So today, obviously, you've got a wealth of experience. Many, many patients have been under your care, which is absolutely fantastic. So we're going to set the scene sort of to begin with for patients that we see. And today we're going to be talking about Hydromol Relief, which I'm sure some of you, you know, in listening to this podcast today have either had experience with, that prescribe or use or recommend to your patients. But today, for those that want a bit more information, and also for those that maybe not so familiar with Hydromol Relief, we're just going to talk a wee bit more about it today. So Fiona, could you begin with actually describing to us Hydromol Relief? What kind of patients do we use Hydromol Relief with?
Yeah, I got first introduced to Hydromol Relief when the rep came to see us in the clinic, and he told us about this product which would be useful for our very itchy patients. And I thought, well, we do have a lot of patients who are itchy, no matter what condition they have, whether they're eczema, whether they've got nodular prurigo, whether they're post-scabies or generalized pruritus. And I thought, that is a product that I think that I would fit into my overall toolkit for seeing patients. And I thought, I will use it on my most itchiest patient first, which is something. And I had a patient in clinic, and honestly, the difference it made to them. So now I use it quite a lot in my clinic.
That's fantastic. And we do know, Fiona, how important that itch is, you know, identifying. We know, you know, that it obviously causes a lot of sleep disturbances and then people can't function. We feel that, you know, people can't go to work, school, college. It's a really, really difficult one. And often itch is the main sort of, I would say, symptom that patients really struggle with. So you mentioned there about hydromel relief really is effective for the itch. Do you find that it's quite quick in its, you know, the patients find that they, you know, get relief from it quite quickly?
The patients tell me that it's just that sense of soothing that they get from it quite quickly, and it works up to about 5 hours. So they tend to use it on an evening when, as you say, it is the worst time when they can't sleep and they're alone with their own thoughts, and it just messes up everything, the whole family dynamics. So using it as part of other products we use, I found it to be a good add-on in the clinics, and especially on a night. They just rub it in, massage it in, and they can use it up to 3 times a day if they want, but most of the time the patients where I've found it more helpful is especially like on a night before they go to sleep, and that helps.
That's some really good tips there as well. And I feel, you know, if a patient has that soothing, like you mentioned, it's a lovely word, but you know, it can make such a difference. And you know, patients do get a little bit of the quality of life back as well, which is really important. And do you find with hydromel relief to patients, do they find it quite straightforward to apply? Is it is, you know, do you give any education to patients that you would recommend hydromel relief for?
So the hydromel relief is a bit different to any other emollient because it only comes in 100-gram tubes, so you need to give them plenty of it. So I tend to give them 5 or 10 tubes so they've got enough. And then they just apply it in after they put on. If they use topical steroid, I always do topical steroids first. And I know that it's controversial, but in my all my time, that's how I was taught. Put on the steroid first, wait, and then they would apply the hydromel relief, just like applying an emollient in a downward direction, the way that where the hair grows just downwards. But yeah, that's the sort of thing. It's fair, it's really straightforward to use, just
That's
like any
great.
general emollient.
Fantastic. And you mentioned there about, you know, ingredients, and there's 2 points I want to pick up from that. Firstly, it's recommended that it's quite a wholesome brand, isn't it? You know, and could you just mention a couple of the ingredients that are in Hydromol?
Well, it's comes across as wholesome because it's got shea butter in it, it's got licorice in it, it's got vitamin E and hyaluronic acid. So a lot of these products that are nice and easy to put on the skin and moisturizing for it. So it's got a few, it's probably got more ingredients than that, but those are the general sort of ones I tend to say to patients what's in it.
Absolutely. It is nice to sort of say that wholesome brand, isn't it? And also a couple I mentioned is the shea butter, because people know about that, and the licorice extract as well, just because, you know, people kind of get quite excited about that as well. So we're going on this sort of wholesome product, and obviously we do have to bring this up just about, you know, people applying topical steroids as well. So do you find that sometimes people, you know, patients that are coming in, opening up a bit of a can of worms, we won't go into too much depth, but the topical steroid withdrawal, do they feel that, you know, that Hydromol could be quite a, you know, a good product for them to use, possibly along with the steroid or instead of the steroid? How do you word all this?
Well, the consultation has changed over the years, and the first thing that people come in and say is, "I've had TSW," or "I don't want to have TSW and I want to be steroid free." That's the first thing they'll say. Despite when you say to a patient with eczema, the treatment is topical steroids plus emollients, maybe some calcineurin inhibitors, but they'll say straight away, "No topical steroids for me." So this is something that we can say that is steroid free. It'll save you from using your topical steroids. If I always say to patients, if we can try and get a bit of control with the steroid first, if you're really inflamed, is always useful, but there is a large percentage of patients that would say, and especially young people, and I think it comes from social media, that they get the perception that what TSW is, others don't really understand it. For years, we used to have mums who were a bit frightened about using topical steroids on their children, but now we've got these youngsters with eczema that just completely have, say, no topical steroid.
Yeah, I think it's important that we discuss it, isn't it? And we can't hide away from it. You know, we know people look at social media, we know people go on Google, you know, we don't get away from it now. And I think, you know, the pressure is rising with the amount of social media that does happen, which isn't always reliable as well. So we have to have these really important discussions with our patients.
I think so. And I think a lot of the time that some of them are my consultants who I used to work with, who now work, say, in the private industry, they've got to increase the length of time for their appointments to deal with patients with topical steroid withdrawal, because they take a lot of time in your clinic.
They do. And it's given the confidence and the reassurance. Yeah. Absolutely. And not hiding it, you know, under, you know, it's not hiding away from it, but, you know, and also benefits. We do need to use topical steroids along with emollients at times as well. It's really, really important that we, you know, educate our patients successfully and give them the confidence in the products as well.
Well, that's right. That's completely true.
And I know you mentioned about the 30 minutes, which is a really important aspect. And lots of patients that come in, I know myself, when I suddenly start talking about that, they don't know.
No.
You know, they, and I think when it comes to education as well, do you feel this is really important, as in we need to inform our patients how to use the product, when to use the product, and also the fact that, you know, we do need to leave these gaps as well between our topical steroids and emollients as well?
Yeah. And now I just in my clinic, because it takes a long time, because how I deal with topical steroids, emollients, and that is, I do it every day for 1 week. Week two, I do it every second day. Week three, every third day. So the withdrawal of the topical steroid slowly. So now I have to put this all down in an A4 bit of paper, and I give it to the patient, because you don't just have the time to go through everything. And then they don't remember, do they? They forget. And then when they pick up things from the pharmacy, it'll say use as directed. So a lot of the time I get all these tasks on system one to say, oh, the patient's got all this product, so now I just give them information, and they go away and then read that at their own leisure to digest it. And education is key for all these products to be successful.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And, you know, I know myself, you can only retain so much information. Yeah. And, you know, it's a lot to take on and understand and take away from your consultation. Mm-hmm. So we still need to do the old fashioned way of, you know, giving information out with paper. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a bit, you know, about applying, about the importance of education and the patients that hydromol relief is suitable for. Is there any groups that of patients that it's not suitable for at all?
So hydromol relief is licensed for 6 months and above, so under 6 months. And also, if they've got any allergies or any sensitivities to any of the ingredients. The other thing that it does say is not to use it on open or broken skin. But a lot of the time, the eczema skin is a bit broken, so they just try a little patch test first to see if it's. But you know yourself, Tina, with all these eczema patients that are really inflamed, anything, including water, is going to cause their skin to sting for a few seconds, you know, as well. So those are the type of patients that I probably wouldn't use a hydromol relief on. But there's a whole amount of patients that you can use it on. You've got 6 months up, which is a brilliant point. Yeah,
absolutely. That does give reassurance, I think, to patients as well, doesn't it? If you say, you know, it's licensed from 6 months up, then, you know, it really gives the confidence in the patients to use the product as well. And as long as they're given the information that, you know, the tingling sensation or the, you know, as long as you're honest and open about it again and say about the product, then it does give patients that reassurance. So, So when you are in your consultations, and as you've mentioned, you know, we're all short of time, it is quite challenging. Are there any specific patient examples of, you know, coming into your clinic that you would use Hydromol for? I know you've mentioned some of the skin disorders in the past, but, you know, a typical patient that's coming into your clinic for the very first time, how would that look for one of your patients for Hydromol relief?
So as we said before about the itch, scratch, sleep deprivation cycle, so I use it an awful lot on teenagers who are really struggling with regards to getting up in the morning and going to school because they've had no sleep because they've spent their time scratching. So those are the type of patients. So lots of patients with eczema. We have lots of patients with nodular prurigo who are struggling as well with the itch, try to break that itch scratch cycle. I've used it on post scabies, as you know, because even for 3-6 months after they've had scabies, they still can be quite itchy. So I've used it on those type of patients. And the other type of patients that I use it on the most is those with generalized pruritus, older people, but with nothing to see on their skin. We used to call it senile pruritus, but you're not allowed to call it that. Yeah. Older patients who are itchy, probably because of a medical problem or a medication. So those type of patients, it's been marvellous for those type of patients, because you can hardly use anything on those patients, you know, because it's just the itch. And it just ruins their life. Itch is such an important thing to try and get on top of, because it just, you know yourself, it just ruins people's lives.
It does. It does. And I think, you know, even when a patient sometimes presents with clear skin, you know, they can still have that itch and, you know, just the sensation. And you know yourself, if you've been maybe, you know, have an itch, bitten varicose veins, it drives you insane. And to have that constantly, you know, is very
difficult.
For your
whole body, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I say to patients, they come into clinic and they're just scratching. And I think, are you itchy? No.
Yeah.
Well, they don't realize they're constantly doing it, you know, and you try and give them ways to like maybe pat their skin, rub their skin, rather than getting their nails in. But it's that sense of relief they feel when they give themselves a good scratch, then it's bleeding and it gets infected, la la, you know, the situation that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a cycle, isn't it, of, you know, and educating the patient. But to have that, like you mentioned earlier, the soothing sort of sensation on the skin can make a big, big, big impact. And just to have even a little, you know, have some out with when they, you know, they're going out to work or they're going out socialising, just to have it there as well can make
just
a big
to say,
difference.
You know, even up to 5 hours, then they can put more on, just giving them a bit of time to have like some sort of normality or some sleep or anything. It's been really, really useful for the clinic and my patients.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I might, with my clinical head on, you know, it does make a big difference to our patients. It's impactful. And we do know, I think nurses are fantastic. You know, we pick up on the sort of red flags that we see that maybe patients are not always discussing, you know, told they've, you know, just get on with it or stop itching. You know, it's a difficult thing to do. And, you know, it's very difficult.
It is really hard. And I've heard in over the years, some healthcare professionals saying, do something with your hands, sit in your hands, take up a, but it's hard. It's really hard. You know, you could get a stress ball or you could have a itch relief toy or, but it's not the same. It's really difficult because they've already got themselves into that cycle, haven't they?
They
can't help it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think as well, it's the blame culture sometimes as well for some of the conditions you've mentioned, obviously, but you know, it's difficult to break it. And also, you know, I've had patients come into my clinic, I'm sure you have as well, Fiona, that are blamed for their condition, especially with nodularis prurigo as well. And they shouldn't have to feel that guilt.
No.
So we've got, you know, we have patients that are presenting. We've talked about, you know, that mm-hmm. it is, we're able to prescribe it for 6 months and up. Yeah. You gave us a really good rundown there of, you know, how much we would be possibly looking at to, you know, prescribe as well, a set of five yeah. tubes, which is fantastic. So is there any tips, and I know this is quite challenging, but is there any tips you would give to our listeners today if they have difficulties in obtaining hydromel relief? Is there any tips out there that, you know, if we get, you know, possibly the knockback of not being able to obtain it, both in primary and in secondary?
Well, we have had issues where I work, where a patient's come and said it's not available. But I think that some of the pharmacies got muddled up with another of the products that hasn't been available for a while. So what I did was I got onto a local rep who then put it to the medicines department in Alliance, and then they contacted the pharmacy direct, because because when people come and say, oh, it isn't available, you think, well, I know it's available. So that's how I did it. Went to the local rep, and he sorted it for me, you know, through the head office and contacted the pharmacy.
Oh, that's a really yeah. good tip, actually. That's yeah. good to know, because quite often we maybe, you know, get in touch with our pharmacy or, you know, the GP. Mm-hmm. We just take it on board that, all right, okay, we can't have this medication, you know, we can't have this hydromel relief. So, you know, that is, and sometimes patients get really disheartened to that as well, because it's, you know, it's a difficult thing for patients to mentally have this, you know, relief with the itch, and yeah. then suddenly we can't actually obtain the
that's right.
You know, it's very difficult, a bit of a roller coaster ride for our patients, and yeah. I think as nurses, again, to support them.
I think so, and I think that's the best way I've found to find when people say that things are not available is to go to the local rep. So that's yeah. a good way of doing it. Yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. Thank you. And would you say, you know, how would you position hydromel relief? How would you sort of look at it and position it with your patients?
So you can use it on its own, because it is a cream formulation, so it is an emollient, with the added benefits of the itch relief for up to 5 hours. But you can use your general, your normal emollient as well. Because so you can have one for the morning during the day and then use the hydromel relief on a night. So there's no reason to say that you could just use it on its own, but you can also use it, you know, with their own emollient that they like. So it's just an add-on to their treatment regime.
That's fabulous. And also, mm-hmm. would you find that, you know, when a patient is using hydromel relief, do they quite often have to use different emollients as well along with it, or is that just preference really for patients?
Yeah, just preference for patients, because normally they'll have an emollient that they found they're comfortable with and they like, and they'll use all the same adage. Like if they like a product, they'll use it. But yeah, I just add it on as an extra, as well as whether we're using topical steroids or calcium urate inhibitors. And as well, so yeah, you can use it on its own or alongside their generalized normal emollients.
And do you find, Fiona, just a quick question, are patients more knowledgeable now? Do you find them actually coming in and knowing about the products?
I think so. I think there's a lot on social media. I think for any skin disease, that people will come and they'll say, I want this, or I've heard about this, you know, and it's just because people talk about it, you know, whether it's for acne, they know something, but patients are more knowledgeable. They do a lot of research about their condition, and they find, they find products, and they come and ask specifically for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have definitely found that, you know, it's definitely patients coming in now and having that knowledge base, definitely.
Yeah.
So you've given us some fantastic information there. Are there any tips for patients with compliance? Because compliance is a biggie. So how do you deal with that?
So compliance is something that patients will come and say to you, I use it every day. Yes, I use my creams, I use, and then you look back, I've got the benefit of looking back system one, and they've not put a repeat prescription in for months. So the last time they came to the clinic, I would prescribe so much of this, so much of that, and then I'll say to the patient, look, you haven't really been using it as much, or, you know, this is how much you need to be using. So just by having that conversation with them, saying, look, I think you're not using enough, or you're not getting repeat prescriptions. And, you know, the children I see, it's not them can order the repeat prescription, it has to be mom or dad or aunt, grandma, you know, or whoever. So, yeah, it's just about trying to get them, keep them upbeat, not by telling them off saying, look, you haven't, but just by having a generalized conversation saying, look, you should be using this much per month or per week. And just trying to get them to keep up with ordering more in when they've not come to the clinic. But I find that a lot, that patients will either start to use a bit more when they're due for their appointment, or after they've had their appointment, and then it sort of tails off. But it's hard. It's hard, isn't it? Because, you know, you get up yourself to go to work or to go to school, and then you're creaming up. And then I say to patients, if you find it easier, do a lot more on an evening. You know, when you've got a bit more time, but time in a day is just precious. You just don't have enough hours in the day sometimes.
It is true. And that's, you know, again, we've got to accept that, you know, life does happen. And, you know, it's not as easy as saying, oh, just apply this three times a day. It can be very, very, very difficult for patients to do that. And, you know,
patients of mine, we are coming up to the festival season. They ain't going to carry any creams or tablets or anything for the way for the weekend or the week, you know. So you've just got to accept that. It's just about building up that rapport with a patient to understand and not be judgmental to say, oh, you haven't put cream on, or, you know, you had a day when you got so fed up that you're just didn't do anything with your skin.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say as well, not telling patients off, because life is life, isn't it? And
yes, it is.
It's difficult. And also when you've got young kids, or, you know, or you're just working normally, you know, we all have these things in our lives. So it's very, very difficult, very difficult. So again, we've gone through an awful lot today on hydromel relief. We've really discussed it a lot in depth. What would you advise for the future for our listeners today? What would you recommend, you know, a new nurse setting up her own clinic and, you know, seeing these patients with extremely, you know, itchy skin? What would you advise them?
So my advice would be, when you're starting your own clinic, make sure that you have enough time in the consultation. Don't let the people who say to you about setting up clinics, you need so much time. Give yourself on the first appointment enough time for the education and advice to the patient, because that will make it start you on a good stead, because the patient is enabled and understands what to do, whether they get a flare when they're not at clinic with you. So give them enough time to go through all the products, show them if you'd like, but just the timing to give that patient. So I think that's invaluable right at the very start. If they've got enough time to ask questions, to understand about the product, how, where, when, how often, etc., that just is the best thing. So enough time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just getting that education in, isn't it? And, you know, it's absolutely pointless if we say, right, use hydromel relief with nothing, you know, because patients are not going to go home and use it at all or know how to use it properly. So it's so important. And we need, I think, you know, I know it's challenging. Time is very challenging for all of us. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to educate our patients how to use this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
So have you got any key sort of tips today? Any key messages for our listeners to take home with today?
Well, key messages is that get the itch under control, which is the main thing. And then I always say to the patient, once you get your itch under control, then you won't scratch, then you won't break the skin, and then you'll be able to have some sort of normality in your life. So by using copious amounts of emollients, get it under control. The other tip I would say, because this is just another subject altogether, but patients will come in and say, can I have an allergy test? This is because of an allergy.
Yeah.
So I say, I'll use the brick wall scenario. So if nothing should get in or out of your skin, but if your skin's like the brick wall where the cement is missing, that's when allergens get in there. So cover it over with your emollient and, you know, get it right surfaced back again. So lots of emollients. And that's the main tip for itch is emollients.
That's great. And you've broken it down there, you know, you've made it quite straightforward, quite simple. Yeah. And it's fantastic. I know, you know, a lot of us use the brick wall scenario and yeah. it works. It totally works. It really does. Yeah. It's a really good visual and it makes sense. And
people understand it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So amazing. Thank you so much, Fiona, for all your valuable knowledge today. Really, really appreciate it. And, you know, there's some really good valuable tips there for our listeners today to understand a wee bit more about hydromel relief as well. Mm-hmm. So I really am grateful that you came onto this podcast today, and also very grateful to Alliance for supporting the BDNG with this podcast as well. So thank you, Fiona.
You're very welcome, and thank you for asking me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.